Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 118 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We're here for the post-match reaction of Venezia-Inter, which finished 1-0 to the visitors, a goal from Matteo Darmian in the 16th minute. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Gianni, cold open question of the week here. Is it okay that we never got into full gear, but we're able to take away the 3 points given the rotation, given the fixture list, given the context around this game?
I don't love it, but more so given the results of the teams around us, I'm okay with it. 3 points was exactly what we needed. We needed to get a bare minimum of the, not bare minimum, obviously. We needed to get all 3 points in this match, especially given where Venezia are in the table. And even though they played a fantastic game, and hats off to them for literally fighting to the very end. We got the result. That's really all that matters.
The only team that traveled to Saudi Arabia that was able to get all 3 points in the league this weekend.
Which, now let me ask you a question. Given the fact that we didn't win the trophy, are you okay with losing that trophy if it meant getting all 3 points against Venezia?
Yeah. The fact that it was a derby, and the fact that it was the second derby loss of the year, that stings. The fact that it was a final of a trophy, that stings. And I'm definitely not, you know, letting the team or the club off of the hook for that loss, you know, especially given the way that it occurred, a 3-2 turnaround. Always tough to deal with. It has been difficult coming out of that game. With work and everything, like, I have 3 opportunities throughout the day to check Inter Twitter, keep myself up to date, and so forth. And since that loss, it's been tough to bring myself to open Twitter and engage, because it still stings. But this win does a lot to shake that off. Like, if we're being honest, you know, if Interisti are able to take the 30,000-foot view coming out of that loss, they would say the start of this season, the objectives were to get far in the Champions League and bring home another Scudetto. For some people, Champions League over a Scudetto. But either way, those are the objectives, right? So 3 points in the league versus, you know, a Supercoppa is a Supercoppa, which we've won 3 years in a row. And at this point, like, it's almost a toss-up between Supercoppa and Coppa Italia at this point for, like, level of importance, right? I think Coppa Italia is still more important in my eyes. It's the more difficult trophy to win, but it's not anywhere close to the level of the objectives that we really care about. So 3 points in the league, that's heavier for me.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I would have to agree there. So especially with given how tight it is at the top of the table, you know, you'd rather get the 3 points to be able to keep pace. And you still have a game in hand on Napoli, and hopefully, you know, they draw today, but we'll see what happens.
After today, it'll be 2 games. It'll be 2 games at the
top. It'll go back up, yeah, to 2 games. Yeah.
So, yeah, Inter, you know, chugging along in the league. I don't know what the right word is there, but doing our jobs in the league. And, you know, I tweeted, like, there's nothing quite like the nerves of being 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go away to a relegation side. Like, you're expecting the worst. And and it was a mature performance from Inter today. Happy with how that played out. So, yeah, even though it felt like we never got into full gear, played probably at 60-70%, I think given the amount of fixtures that we have coming up and the amount of fixtures that we played, like I'm okay. I'm not going to be ringing the alarm bells after this performance. The truth of the matter is we were in control of this game. Venezia had, they did hit the post and Sommer did have to make, you know, a couple of good saves, but the same can be said of Inter as far as the other end, right? Some finishing issues, particularly from Fratesi twice. Taremi could have done better with chances. Lautaro could have done better with chances. So, you know, we did our job. We got the victory and we are, we're on to the next one. All right. Let's get into some questions that really come out from today's game. I want to start with what's been the dominant discussion over the last week, which is the case of Fratesi. Let's go with the most recent update, which is an interview that that Marotta gave before the game, basically saying, we believe in Davide. He has not come to us with a transfer request, and our intention is to keep him. So the first thing I want to touch on as far as this Fratesi discussion is, do you think Marotta is playing a little bit of 3D chess there by going out to the media and saying he hasn't requested a transfer? If he did request a transfer, we don't want to keep unhappy players, and essentially putting the ball, with Riso doing what he's doing behind the scene, Fratesi's agent, Marotta is essentially putting the ball in Fratesi's court and saying, okay, if you want to be serious about this, let's not play games with your agent. Come and request the transfer. And in doing so, kind of exonerates Inter and says, okay, you know, it's an unhappy player. He asked for the transfer. Do you think Marotta is being a professional here in his role as CEO?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that's it's a risky tactic, but I also think it's a good tactic. You know, you put the pressure back on the player to, hey, if this is true, you know, if this is really what you want, and you know, kind of like be a man and come to me and say it. Don't use your agent, you know, through media outlets to plant stories and to make stuff up, and you know, that's not going to help anybody, because we're going to have a price that we want to have met, and if you want to go, then one, you know, you shouldn't be disgruntled, because then it's going to make the other teams think, well, then we can lowball Inter to try to get what we want at, you know, at a cut rate price because he wants out so bad. So I think it's very smart on his part to have said those things, and we'll see what happens now. You know, we have what, about 20 so days, 18, 19 yep. day, whatever left in the month. So if he really wants it to be the case, then man up and, you know, go to his office and let him know.
And also smart by Inzaghi after the match to, you know, basically say, we want him here. He's an important part of the project. He's fighting for a spot the same way that the rest of the team is doing. Again, like, not exonerating Inter, because I do think I would love to have a longer discussion that I don't think is going to be the case for today. It may make more sense once Fratesi is out of here, if he's out of here, to talk about, you know, the blame game for why this transfer may not have worked out. But I do think it's smart from the club to just come out and like openly say he's part of the project. You know, he's got to fight for his place. And if he wants out, you know, let us know. There's more to discuss about this, but I did want to ask you what you make of the reports where it's basically Roma's offering some cash, but also they're trash in the deal. Cristante. Zalewski, who's the other one? Pellegrini. Like, Pellegrini's not a trash player, but he's not, he's not what we thought he was. Cristante and Zalewski certainly aren't Inter quality. This is gonna, I think I know the answer to this, but any interest in any of their on the edge of the roster players?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would take 30 million in Dybala. I think that's fair. But I know that's not going to happen. So, no interest in Zalewski. Definitely no interest in Cristante. He's essentially Gagliardini with maybe better facial hair. And Pellegrini is just, he's not the player, like you said, that we think he is or we thought he would be. He's just not up to quality, unfortunately. So, I would much rather go in a different route. I would rather have 45 million or 40 million, whatever the number really is, cash, Or even if it's, you know, let's say 35 plus bonuses to get to the 45 kind of thing, you know, like, but please don't try to pawn off your trash players on us, because what would Cristante do? What help would he bring? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So let's move on from that. And, you know, if Roma really want him, just pony up. You were splashing the cash left and right. There's rumors you're going to sell Enzo Lefebvre to, you know, Real Betis. Take that money. And if you have 30 now, whatever you get for him, you should get at least 15, 20 million. Bat, you paid 23, so I would hope you would get at least 15, 20 out of Betis. Now you got enough to pay us. So we'll see what happens if that's, you know, if it even does materialize.
I believe Lefebvre actually made his transfer already for around 20 to Sunderland. So he's going to the championship. Tough look for those who held Lefebvre stock. But as the last thing on Fratesi here, it's not the last thing because there's a lot to talk about, but the last thing just as far as this episode is concerned, what do you make of the performance that he put in today, which was, I think, it's interesting to break down because it's not a 10 to 15 minute cameo at the end of the game. He was on the pitch, I believe, in the 62nd minute. So he got most of that second half to show something. And he did have a couple opportunities, including a breakaway one-on-one with the keeper that he ended up putting right into Stankovic's belly. So what do you make of what you saw out of Fratesi today?
You know, it's probably going to be an unpopular opinion, and I'm sure people are going to disagree with me. I wasn't impressed with what I saw today. You know, the finishing was lacking. I felt like the effort was definitely lacking. There was an instance late in the game where Idses crosses a ball in, and I believe it was Busio who jumps over Fratesi. Fratesi doesn't even try to go up for that ball. He just kind of like backs up into Busio half-heartedly. And I don't know who got the shot off. Somebody got a shot off that could have been an equalizer late in the, you know, I think it was the 91st minute, if I'm not mistaken.
Yon
and Paolo. What would have happened then? You know, like, in my opinion, it kind of felt like he's already kind of quit on the game. I'm not saying on the team for the season, but I feel like he's in the game. He's already kind of, you know, quit. And that's not something I want to see. And I was very, very bothered by that. Maybe other people saw it differently or feel differently, but I wasn't in love with what I saw. And, you know, of course, if he would have scored, I'm sure people would have been like, oh, but look what he did and the game. But like that's all he provides, in my opinion, is just goal scoring. I don't see anything else that he really brings that is a positive trait personally.
I think Sharma also posted a video of a lack of effort towards the end of the game in the Supercopa final. So yeah, there's it's probably weighing on him, this whole situation. I don't know, like, even if he's had a conversation with his agent, like, try to get a deal done for me, I don't know that as a player, maybe you fully realize what that's going to come with as far as the media in Italy and how they're going to blow this up and really talk about it, especially when it comes to any opportunity or possibility for crisis at Inter. They're going to jump all over it. And they have definitely done so. So, you know, it was interesting. There was a video of a fan before they left for Venezia that came up to him, started crying, saying, you know, wanting you to stay. And I think he made some sort of comment like there's cameras around. I'm not going to talk, but this is going to be an interesting situation to watch play out. Like I said, I don't want to dive too deep into all of it because I do want to see it play out. If he goes, we'll have our conversation. If he stays, we'll have our conversation. But I think we're both on this wavelength that this team has the possibility to be even better without Fratesi. There are solutions that we can go after that can improve this team without Fratesi. So, you know, at this point, it's like if we get our price, then you're putting trust in and faith in management. And the Ricci links have been very interesting. And I definitely could see Marotta, you know, trying to pull a deal now and pip Milan, because Milan is also very interested in him. If they can try to get a deal done now in January as opposed to the summer market when Milan may have more to spend, I think that that would be the alternative. But we'll see how it plays out. Speaking of young midfielders at Inter that have been spoken about a lot in these recent days, Cristian Aslani gets the start against Venezia today, played, you know, around 60 minutes. Fratesi came on for him. He played well today in certain aspects. You know, he did get booked in the first half for incessant fouling, which was the case. I mean, and it is the case with him on the pitch. He's not really strong enough in the tackle, so there's going to be a lot of, you know, ticky-tack stamps on the heels and stuff like that that he's going to do to try to win the ball. His only real shot at being good defensively is more of a reading of the game and intercepting the ball. So outside of that, like, he played pretty well. I think he was 36 of 37 passing. He had the long ball into Lautaro for the, you know, the Darmian goal, but played pretty well. Coming off the back of a really poor performance against Milan in the Supercoppa final. Before I get into the question that I have for you here, I'm just going to let you freestyle on this a little bit, because I saw you getting into it on Twitter with some folks about Aslani. So give me your thoughts. What's top of mind with when it comes to Aslani?
No, listen, it was a good performance, but you also have to look at the competition that he's playing going up against. Like, there's not really much talent in the Venezia midfield that he has to really worry about being a threat to him. You know, you pointed to the numbers and what he was able to do. Great. I mean, those are fantastic passing numbers, and I have nothing. That's what I want to see from a midfielder. But I also feel like there is a serious lack of focus in his game. I think that his defensive awareness is lacking. His ability to read what the opposing teams want to do in the attacking third, you would hope that he would have picked something up by now. And what I was saying to those people was, you know, they brought up Rovella and Ricci. I didn't bring them up. You've seen growth from those two guys year after year. You cannot look at, you know, Nicolò Rovella and tell me that he hasn't gotten better every year since he broke out at Genoa. You just can't. Ricci, same thing. He has gotten better every year. When he was at Empoli, he was good. Now Torino, he's gotten better. Are they world beaters? No. Although you can make a case that Rovella should be in the starting midfield for the national team going forward. You know, him, Barella, and Tonali is beautiful. I think that's a pretty dream trio. We haven't seen that level of growth. And, you know, and they tried to point to, well, look where they are. You know, Lazio, they're allowed to play. Torino, they're allowed to play. Fair. I'm not going to say that's wrong. But if those players weren't growing, they wouldn't be playing either. I don't think it matters where you are. You know, and somebody tried to bring up Savona. I don't think Savona is really that good to begin with. And I think that he's being played more out of necessity more so than his quality. I just don't think that Aslani, one, is a regista. I just don't think that's the role for him. Unfortunately, that's what we need, and that's what we're forcing him to do. So maybe it is a little bit of unfairness from the club in that regard, but I just don't see any level of improvement at all in him. You would hope to have seen something. When you point to his long passing, and that's really the only redeeming quality that you can bring up, that's not a good thing. In my opinion, 3 years is what it'll be at the end of the season. That's more than enough time to have seen some type of growth and development in his game. I think it's okay to cut losses. You know, Dave from Brothers of the World thinks, you know, one more year. I personally disagree, but I mean, I guess we'll have to see what, if any, type of war chest is offered to Beppe Nausilio. But we have seen that, you know, even though Oaktree seem likely to stay for, you know, the interim, they are a little hesitant to invest in anything, and I don't see them really splashing the cash to make improvements, you know, where it's needed, unfortunately.
Okay. I agree with a lot of what you said there. I think, first of all, the discussion around Aslani, it's more emotional than it needs to be for a player of his level and his quality. Like the back and forth over it, it's like we need to be a little bit more honest about what he is and what his ceiling is. He could be a good player. He can be a good player, and that's okay. But the discourse about this guy, it gets really heated for, I just don't understand. I'm not sure why it gets so heated. I think people 3 years in is completely fair to make a judgment on the kid. And it's not a judgment on the kid. The question that needs to be asked and the context of the discussion around Aslani is, what is his future at Inter? Does he have a future at Inter? One, look at positionally. Yeah, Hakan's getting older, and there's a spot to take that place. But for the person that's going to step up and take that place, or even cover for Hakan as he gets older, and these injuries have been piling up with Hakan a little bit the last couple years, he's missing time. That position, that backup to Hakan and eventual successor to Hakan, in my opinion, needs to be a much higher level ceiling than what Aslani brings to the table. I'm rooting for Aslani. Performances like this against Venezia are good because the way that I'm viewing him as a player is an asset. Is this a player that can fetch you 18 to 20 to 25 million from a Premier League team or a Fiorentina or whatever it might be? Yeah. I want to see him go out and perform and do well. But make no mistake about it, at least as far as I feel about the kid, I think he's got a portion of his bag that has the potential to be elite, which is that distribution, right? Safe passing and the ability to, you know, to find the switch and hit the man on the long ball, or, you know, find the trailing runner. But I think we can do better at that spot. I think there are better prospects, and I think that that's okay to say. You know, it's not, no one is rooting for Aslani to fail. No one should be rooting for any Inter players to fail. Like, even if you don't want them on your team, the better they do organically, the better their team is going to do, and the better their value is going to be on an open market.
What if you already think they failed, though?
Then you don't want to continue to see them.
Because that's kind of where I'm at. It's not that I want him to fail. I just think he already is a failure at this club.
That's fair. And like, that's a question that I had going into this when I saw the lineup. And I had tweeted earlier in the week, like, after that bad of a performance against Milan, is it the right thing to do to go right back to him and stick him back there? Like, wouldn't it be better to do like Barella, Fratesi, Zielinski? And I kept coming back to like, well, he's a body on your team, and these are a lot of games. So if you have him on the team, like, shouldn't you take advantage of the minutes that you can put on his legs? I wouldn't have agreed with it if this was, let's say, the game against Fiorentina that we had to make up. I think I would have rather gone with Barella, Fratesi, Zielinski, and work something out there. But given that it's against Venezia, I think you can afford to allocate those minutes towards Aslani, and you know he did well in that time. I don't think there's much more to say about this. It's a very contentious topic. There's a lot of hate thrown towards Aslani, which, you know, some of it has been earned and some of it has definitely been overblown. I think he's a good player. When I envision Inter in the future, a strong Inter competing for titles, I'm not really envisioning Aslani back there. And if the Aslani defenders are the people that say he could be the future, like, you're going to get
what you deserve in that respect, which is a ton of discourse around this guy every time he shows up on the team sheet with, you know, average to good to bad performances. So, yeah. Anything else you want to say about Christian before we move on?
Nah, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Next thing I want to get into is Zielinski versus Mkhitaryan. Mkhitaryan somehow, some way, has picked up a little bit of a knock here. A lot of minutes on a 35-year-old. Who could have seen this coming? But was not able to leg it out here against Venezia, and Zielinski gets the start. My question to you is, who won the day, given the Zielinski performance? Was this a win for Mkhitaryan, or was this a win for Zielinski?
Sorry, I had to get that cough out before I started talking. I really liked Zielinski's game today. My one thing that I didn't like was his unwillingness to take shots from range. I know Sharma tweeted about it as well. I agreed with him 100%. Like, dude, you scored nothing but bangers against us. You would let it rip from anywhere outside the 18. Why are you not doing the same for us? He had at least maybe three chances to just take the shot. Now, one time, one of those, I think he might have, you know, seen that the guy was at the angle that he would have been taking the shot. He might have, you know, hit the defender. So I can maybe let that one slide. But he did have a couple that it's like, dude, just rip it. Like, everybody else is shooting. And then on the free kicks, I don't understand why Aslani was the one taking them. Because there was one on the right-hand side, which was perfect for Zielinski to take left-footed and curl it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't know. But I thought his passing was good. I think the only one that I really didn't like was the one late in the game where Darmian was cramping. And yes, instead of shooting that one, he decided to lay it off, which, I mean, if you saw that he was cramping, you knew he was going to be late to get to the ball. I don't know why. I think that was just a poor decision.
Yeah.
But overall, I think he had a good game. I just wish he would have been, you know, taking some shots.
There were a couple times in the second half where he earned himself some space with that, like, trademark drop of the shoulder that he was able to, like, and it looks pretty every time he does it. It's very, very effective, and it's a part of, like, when we talk about bag work. I was watching Carmelo Anthony highlights the other day for some reason. And the title of the video was bag work. And it got me thinking of, like, okay, when looking at these players, like, think of what's in their bag. What do they have? And he has some elite skills, one being this ability to get out of pressure with this drop of the shoulder that seems to fool defenders every single time. It's really pretty. But he didn't do much with that space once he did have it. You know, I don't know how this performance would have looked if maybe, let's say, Thuram was on the pitch and he's our forward that gets in behind the back line the most. Could Zielinski have had more opportunities to, you know, to release a player like that and get assists? You know, maybe. I thought it was a good performance from him today. He was the one that slotted in at Regista instead of Barella when Aslani came off the pitch, which I thought was interesting. But if you had to ask me who wins the day, Mickey or Zielinski, I would say it was more of a win for Mkhitaryan because...
And how do I end the episode? Where do I... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
There's some agendas out there for Mickey for sure. Zionino, I see you loving Mkhitaryan.
He's beating the Mkhitaryan drum, bro. He is leading the charge.
It's fine. Like, you know, Mickey does some good stuff. Zielinski doesn't quite have the industriousness of Mkhitaryan, but I trust Zielinski in the final third more, even though it didn't come off today. And yeah, I think we haven't seen the best of Zielinski in either kit yet.
That's fair.
So, Sorry. We'll edit that out of there. All right. Moving on. This one is hopefully a fun one. Is there a case to be made for Inter's MVP of the season to be Stefan De Vrij? When you think of what MVP means, most valuable player, Acerbi's been down for a long time. De Vrij has been in that spot, performing at levels that he was performing when he was the Serie A defender of the season. He's up there for best defenders in Serie A this season, without question. Thuram's got the goals. Barella's got, you know, the play from midfield. Di Marco has the contributions as well. Is there a case for Stefan to be Inter's MVP this season?
I could see it. I could hear the argument. I don't agree with it. I don't think he's the MVP.
How do you say that without putting him down, right? It's like, I think that you can make an argument, obviously, that he's not the MVP, but also, like, without not being so impressed with what he's brought to the team this year.
Oh, that's that. I mean, yeah, I've definitely been impressed with his play, and it's almost like a massive resurgence in his game. But then I think that you're taking away the value that you have in what Bastoni's done, in what Di Marco's done, in what Thuram's done. Has it had that level of impact? Yes, he's stepped in for another aging center back in Acerbi and been able to play phenomenally for the entire season. But like, if we took, let's say we took De Vrij out, right, and we put in Palacios, and or we took Di Marco out and had Augusto playing left wing back solely, what do you think would be a more noticeable omission in the lineup?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
I mean, I'm not going to be upset if someone says, oh, no, you would notice if, you know, De Vrij is missing more so than Di Marco.
Because you can.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Fill in Bissek and Bastoni into that position, but long periods of time without Di Marco would probably hurt you more.
If you went 2 months, let's say, without Di Marco,
which is what it's been for Acerbi,
as opposed to 2 months without De Vrij, what would hurt more? I would say 2 months without Di Marco.
I agree.
You know, like, and to me, that is where you get the definite most valuable player. Not saying Di Marco is to me, he is this season. But I would hear arguments for Thuram. I would hear arguments for Bastoni, and, you know, I would listen to arguments for De Vrij. But if Di Marco went down for 2 months, the fall off would be massive.
Who do you think Simone would give the MVP to at this point in the season?
Oof, that's tough.
I think because
I can't get into his head.
I think that guy for him might be up there too.
I think he would be between, and again, obviously we're just guessing, but I think that he would be between Thuram and Di Marco, in my opinion.
I think that's a fair shout. Thuram. What he's turned into, and looked great on the pitch today, by the way, when he came in. Like, ball was sticking in his foot. There was one high ball that came down that he just
let it rest. He's been awesome.
Let it rest. So, yeah, we've been in good hands with De Vrij. All right, let's talk about, let's see, do we want to get into, what do you want to talk about next? Some individual performances to note, some versatility in the team towards the end as far as the formation is concerned, or do you want to talk about some of the players on the Venezia side that are either owned by Inter or linked to Inter? Where do you want to go next?
Let's talk about the guys who are owned by Inter on Venezia. I think we do have to give a massive shout to Filip Stanković. I think he is showing himself to be a phenomenal shot stopper in this league. If he has better defense in front of him in that lone goal that was given up. He probably does have a clean sheet, which would have been, crazy enough, his first clean sheet in Serie A. It's kind of disappointing. I mean, he's on a terrible Venezia side. You can't really, you know, fault him for not keeping clean sheets, but played phenomenal. I mean, I think that I think he would, you know, would be ready to be a backup at Inter next year if they decided to move on from Sommer for whatever reason. Although Sommer shows no signs of slowing down personally. I mean,
and also has a contract that ends at the end of next season, not this one.
Oh, it's next season? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
that's the question. Maybe like, if you could bring him back, would you? And when would you do it? Knowing that Sommer and Martinez are both under contract.
I would wait till Sommer's contract is up to bring him back. Mm-hmm. Loan him out one more time. Maybe try to get him at a better club. Skorupski at Bologna might be someone worth looking to, you know, replace. Trying to think who else needs potentially goalkeepers.
Provedel's getting older at Lazio. But that would be a big jump.
But they also have, you know, Mandas as the back, and they're calling for him to be the starter. So
not a huge Mandas, but yeah.
I mean, would it be nice for Laziale to see another Stankovic back in their colors? I'm sure, you know. But yeah, it'd be. I would want to see him maybe go up a notch above. You know, not in a team that's battling for relegation. Maybe battling for mid table. You know, would be good to see. You know, if you were able to, you know, battle for Conference League, that's even better. But it's I love him. I have loved him when there was. The deal wasn't done for summer. I was ready to go into the season with Stankovic as a starter at that time. Now he probably wouldn't have been ready, but I thought it would have been nice to see, you know, him being a legacy player get the opportunity. So, but now that we are seeing that he has, you know, legitimate potential, it's wonderful to see, and I hope I hope he continues to grow.
Yeah. I wouldn't have him as part of this team next year because I wouldn't want to stunt his development at all. I don't think that he takes the top spot for Inter. So yeah, I would do the same thing. They do have a purchase option on him, but you know, all things are negotiable.
That's only if they stay in Serie A.
If they stay in Serie A. Yeah. I think it might be an obligation if they stay in Serie A, but I don't wanna say the wrong thing. Gaetano Oristano. Who's played well at points this season. Inter does have a buyback clause. Actually, I think Venezia has a obligation purchase if they stay in Serie A. I'm not totally sure, but we do have a 30% sell-on percentage. I don't see his level ever being of Inter. I do see that, you know, he might have a ceiling that's higher than Venezia, but where are you at with Oristano?
Yeah, another player that just makes poor decisions. I think that he, and it's not just when he plays Inter, it's really when I think he tries to prove that he's this phenomenal winger, or he wants to prove to somebody that he's better than they think or whatever it may be, and it just doesn't really translate. He just tries to do too much. He had opportunities to lay the ball off to teammates, and he takes shots that sail over the crossbar. I feel like he's another one. His awareness is not up to snuff. I think as a winger, you have to be able to see the pitch, to see what your teammates are doing, the runs that they're making, and to pick them out, you know. And he tries to go it alone too often for my liking. And I feel like if you want to do that, you better be, you know, a winger with the dribbling ability of, you know, young Ronaldo at Man U, Bale at Tottenham, you know, stuff like that. Like, you need to really have a lot of these characteristics, traits. Let's not forget Hazard at Chelsea, you know, like, and he just doesn't have it. That's not in his game, unfortunately. You know, you can kind of look at him really as a poor man's Chiesa, and I'm not even the biggest Chiesa fan. So I don't see a future for him at Inter ever. And I hope that we can, you know, get that obligation to to take place, because we need to sell off some of these guys who are just aren't up to snuff.
Yeah. Yeah, his level is like Cagliari or at the top level Udinese, in my opinion. Hans Nicolussi Caviglia linked to Inter. He's talked about like a prospect, but like Sharma said, he is 24 years old. For me, it's a really simple pass on that. Again, if you look back at the Aslani conversation, it's like, I'm looking for someone to succeed Hakan. I'm looking for a, not a depth piece. And he's not, for me, he's not even that good of a depth piece. So it's a pass for me. I'm assuming it's the same for you.
Yeah, no, it's not a question. Yeah, huge pass. He's not a quality enough player to be in this squad, unfortunately. For him, not, you know, fortunately enough for us, but there are better options out there that I would much rather invest in than him.
Do you like Busio at all?
I do like Busio. I don't think that he's an Inter quality player either, but I do like Busio. I honestly, Tesman was the guy, obviously, that I think would have been good, and I think that he would have been an upgrade on Aslani. So it's disappointing that him and his agents were so greedy and expecting to get more out of Inter, and that's what made the deal fall through, unfortunately. You know, like, but that's just bad advice, because if you agree to something, you can't like renege on it and change your mind.
It's mismanagement of a career, for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I like Busio too, but not right now. I want to stay at the level that we're at, right, guys? Like, I want to stay competing for titles, and I want the players that are brought in and investments that we make to reflect that. So yeah, it's going to be a pass on Busio for me. Let's get into some of these individual performances today. Jan Sommer, some excellent goalkeeping today. He didn't have a lot to deal with, but when he was called upon, he dealt with it very well. Anything that you want to say about your Swiss brother?
I just, this guy's amazing. He is such a force from the back, and a solid, just solid goalkeeper, phenomenal shot stopper. Like, these are the things that you look for. And like, you know, I got into it with a fan of Lazio. It wasn't Nick Diani, you know, because I said when he signed with us that, you know, he'll be one of the, if not the best keeper in Serie A. And this person was very defensive. You know, he thought that Provedel was better, and he said Provedel was better. I was like, you can't just give, you know, Provedel off of one good season with Lazio, say that he's a better goalkeeper than Jan Sommer, who hasn't been doing it at a top level for years. He, you know, gave us a hard time when he was at Borussia Mönchengladbach. He was solid for Bayern Munich. The guy's had a phenomenal career from everywhere, you know, Basel as well. And to see him still performing at this level, to still have the reflexes that he has, and the rebound control as well. You know, like, I mean, I've talked about it with Onana. I thought that was a big underappreciated aspect of his game. And he had one off of, I think it was Dumbia's header. Look at that. I'm sounding like I'm from Brooklyn. His header, where he made the save and was able to control it enough that he was able to get on top of the rebound and, you know, avoid giving up an equalizer there. And then if you look at the shot from Busio that went off the post, and I always butcher their captain's name for Venezia, but he came in, he was offside. Yeah, but he, you know, shot it. Great reflex save by Sommer there. And then he was in a position to make another save, which he did do. And then the third opportunity would have come in. And then they finally blew the whistle. But I love Jan Sommer. I think that he will go down as one of the most underappreciated goalkeepers in Inter history. I don't think people really appreciate just what he brings to this team and the quality that he's able to provide. So I hope that's not the case, but I love Jan Sommer.
especially if he's able to grab another Scudetto. He's got to be rising up the ranks of goalkeepers for Inter.
If he gets another Scudetto,
go ahead.
I would love to hear people's opinions, and you can comment on the post when we put this episode out. But I think if he gets a second Scudetto, you can make a case that he's, you know, maybe above Samir Handanovic.
I don't have it in me to argue against that right now, so I'll say.
I would not be upset if he did. Like, I would not say, "Oh no, you're wrong," or anything. Like, I'm just saying you can make the case. I'm not saying he is automatic. Like, Handanovic, unfortunately, was a part of some really bad teams, and I think that does him a huge disservice.
For sure.
But trophies do matter in
Hopefully
legacy.
You are able to have that conversation at the end of the season. Matteo Darmian on the score sheet, shows up when you need him, Mr. Reliable, didn't give up anything on his side, slotted perfectly into the back three, covering for Jan Bisek, who's out for the next 20 days minimum. Any flowers for Matteo today?
Another one, our Swiss Army knife, our jack of all trades. This guy, I just feel so calm when he's on the pitch. There's no panic to me. He's not the flashiest player. He's never going to wow you with anything. But Matteo Darmian is just so, so good. And like, part of me wishes I had a kid of his, just because of, you know, I think he's like one of those like underappreciated, unheralded players. And it would be like so hipster to have, you know, a guy who's not one of the main, one of the main dudes, you know, on your kit. But he's a great performance. And whenever we call, he doesn't complain. He never has, you know, a pouty face. You never hear any rumblings. He comes in, he does his job, and that's it. And I'm so thankful that he's one of ours.
I think every team, every winning team, every team that's challenging for titles needs a player like Matteo Darmian. They need
no, they don't. They don't.
Oh, right.
Only
right.
We need him. Right, I don't want a Napoli to have Darmian. I don't want, you know, Atalanta to have a Darmian. It's good. It's good the way it is.
Napoli's trying to get Danilo, so maybe that they think he's their
Darmian. You go. That's your Darmian, Danilo. I love Danilo. I think he's so good.
Be a great signing for a team going for the title. Arguably, can you argue today was Bastoni's best defensive performance?
That's so funny you said that, because yes, you can make that argument. another great game, another one where he's making last-ditch tackles and blocking shots. God, I love Alessandro Bastoni. And isn't it crazy that the three best Italian players all play for Inter?
And we should keep grabbing them, too. Let's get more.
I mean, listen, get me Rovella or Ricci. I'm thrilled. You know, I was hoping we would have been able to get Buongiorno. Who knows? You know, maybe Calafiori's not enjoying life in North London. You know, rainy weather, shit food.
What else? What else at that club?
Yeah, I mean, and everyone's criticizing the signing now. Like, it's kind of funny the way they're turning on. I mean, really, their whole summer transfer.
Of their problems.
He is the last of their problems, but it's like, yeah, they're blaming the summer transfer market on their failure, and it's just funny. So, yeah, bring him back too, and you know, there's a guy in Newcastle that I would love to add as well. So, why don't we figure out? Imagine, I know it's not going to happen, people, but like, how insane would it be if we got Rovella and Tonali in the summer?
Or Ricci, either like.
Or Ricci. I would lose my mind if you told me,
that would be for Italy to have these guys playing together year round.
I mean, yeah, look at the, I mean, I know it was only two guys at the time in Gattuso and Pirlo, but, you know, having the two Milan guys together and then you have them, you know, at 06. That was huge. You know, I mean, I know Camoranesi was the other one.
The
I think the best example of it would be the Bonucci, Barzagli, Chiellini backline.
Yeah.
Together all year round.
100%.
Would be big. Would be big. All right. Does Barella look tired to you? He looks a little tired.
I don't think so. He looks tired to you?
Looks a little tired to me. Is that him?
That's my bro's at the casino, so he's probably probably wants me to come out and start gambling.
Nice. What time is it?
It's 9:30 in the morning.
9:30 in the morning.
And he wants to go. He's definitely already at, you know, playing cards right now. So
beautiful. Just like Donali. Okay. Wow. He looks a little tired to me. He looks a little tired, which I think is understandable because I think I don't know. I haven't done the search, but I would love to see what his minutes in Europe have looked like compared to everybody else over the last couple of seasons. Has to be up there.
Yeah, I mean, trying to think now. I think I saw something last season that he was second in terms of midfielders, only to, I believe it was Rodri. I could be wrong. I'd have to look it up again and find it. But I think in terms of minutes played across all competitions, I think only Rodri played more minutes than Barella.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. All right. Last thing to touch on here. Let's talk about actually two things. Pavard re-enters the team. We love that. We need that. Looks like Çalhanoğlu and Acerbi are on their way back for Bologna. We need that. We love that. And the forwards today. I thought Taremi played pretty well. I thought Lautaro played pretty well. Outside of the finishing, it wasn't spectacular from either guy, but I thought it was good. Duram came on, looked great. Arnautović came on, looked like Arnautović. I don't know. There's much more to say outside of that.
Yeah, I mean that pretty much does sum it up. Nobody else really stood out. Nobody really looked bad, you know, or out of the ordinary. So. Yeah, that's kind of the match.
It's cool that they went to a 4-4-2 at the end of the match just to see a different formation, although I do think it was more up to injuries and not being able to go to certain guys as opposed to like a real tactical wrinkle that Inzaghi is introducing. But it's cool that they were able to switch it up. All right, let's get into what you guys think. Let's see if there's anything. At a person 1352 asking about Aslani. We talked about that a lot. Intertwined. Is it me or is it just me or has Bastoni hit another level these last few games? Ask absolute boss on the left. Is there a better left side in football right now than who we play? Bastoni, Di Marco, Miki, Thuram.
No, there isn't. I mean, just Bastoni and Di Marco alone. I think makes you the best, you know, left side of the pitch that you could possibly, you know, put out there. So
at @m6adam_, a couple things that we already talked about, but thank you for sending in the message. Let's just get to this last one. At GABR131S89. I don't know if this is a bot or a real person, but thank you for submitting this. He says this weekend in Serie A was a no smoke zone. Chi non salta rosso nero è. Facts. 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 It was a good weekend so far from an Inter opponent, you know, standpoint from the points that they were able to pick up. You still got Napoli playing this afternoon. Who's Napoli playing?
I know Bologna, Roma, and Napoli has got to be playing. Verona.
Oh, so Napoli's winning. Okay, never mind.
They lost 3-0 earlier in the season, first game of the year. So
yeah, but I think, you know, Conte's going to, you know, be able to light enough of a fire under them to make sure it doesn't happen again.
They are losing Kvaratskhelia. He wants out of Serie A. Conte unable to convince him. That's a devastating transfer to suffer in January. A truly devastating transfer to suffer. You know, Neres and Politano and Lukaku up front for Napoli. Presented without comment. Inter Bologna on Wednesday. Did you have a comment, Gianni?
No. No comment on them.
Okay. Inter Bologna in the Serie A. Inter at home on Wednesday, 2:45 game. So a good test for the boys coming up soon, like we mentioned. They do have some guys coming back. Hopefully everyone came out of today looking okay. Looking forward to the discourse this week. I think it's going to be very heavily Fratesi focused, and we'll see how things play out. Anything left before we get out of here?
No. Nothing new. What?
You're meeting Nico Bocuzzi today.
Oh, yes. We are getting together today. We were going to try to watch the game, but it was a 6 a.m. game here, so that was not going to be happening. But yeah, we're going to get together, grab some lunch, you know, and
make a TikTok.
I'm meeting Nico Bocuzzi before I meet Alessandro.
Wild. I do have a bachelor party invite for mid-June for Las Vegas.
That's a terrible time to come here.
Yeah, so we got to talk about that. But we'll do that offline.
Okay.
All right. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.